I'm Eric Thiel. Joining me today in the studios, Aoife O'Donovan, Jeremy Kittle, Teddy Abrams, and on bass today, Nate Farrington. Guys, welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Thanks
so
much.
Great to be here. Yeah. Thanks, Eric.
Let's start with a tune. I said we were going to talk a little bit, but I want to hear music because I know that there's a lot to talk about with this performance that's going on tonight at Brit. So what do you guys want to start with?
We're going to actually play the first part of a piece that we wrote together with Teddy. This is Jeremy talking. Teddy and Aoife and myself, and featuring the poetry of Peter Sears. And so this is a poem that Aoife took, arranged for a song with guitar, and then tonight it's going to be with full orchestra.
Water is a glaze, like loneliness it eases with itself. I cast and close my eyes for the world across the water, the line striking the surface. See.
That is Aoife O'Donovan and Jeremy Kittle live today on Jefferson Public Radio. For those of you tuned in on the Classics and News Service wondering, what is this music that you are hearing on the Classics and News Service? There's a reason that Aoife and Jeremy are in town tonight at Brit, a rather unusual program at Brit Classical. The combined forces of Aoife O'Donovan, Jeremy Kittle, Teddy Abrams, and the entire Brit Orchestra performing a rather interesting world premiere. It's called Bullfrog's Croon. That is a song cycle set to the poetry of Oregon's poet laureate Peter Sears. Joining me in the studio, in addition to Aoife and Jeremy you just heard, Teddy Abrams, Nate Farrington is here as well. Want to talk a little bit about this piece, but before we get to that, just as a sense of introductions to all of you, Aoife, you have been here before. It was about 4 years ago with the band Crooked Still, in which you were the lead vocalist and songwriter and song finder.
Is
that an accurate description?
Yes.
Jeremy Kittle has been never to JPR, but you have been to the area a number of times at the Fiddle Camp in Mount Shasta in various places.
Right, yeah. Love it here.
Teddy, many people in this area know, is the music director at Brit Classical, the conductor, the guy you see in front of the orchestra each and every night, and of course, a tremendous first weekend of this season's Classical, so congratulations on that. Let's talk about this trio a little bit, because you guys all have different backgrounds, and yet you are all here today and on stage later tonight. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about this piece that you have created together.
Well, in this room are some of my absolute favorite musicians in the whole world, Aoife and Jeremy and Nate too. And I have to say that one of the things I've tried to bring to the Brit Festival is the sense of the breadth of the music that we can play as an orchestra, the breadth of the musical experience I think that we can present. A lot of people have a stereotype about what so-called classical music or so-called orchestral music might be. And one of the great joys of an orchestra is its tremendous flexibility. And one of the great joys of making music the way I grew up learning how, which is maybe in the kind of classical tradition, is its compatibility with so many different styles and genres, which, by the way, over time, historically, is pretty much accurate with the way I think people like Beethoven and Mozart and Bach would have experienced the musical world. Aoife and Jeremy both have chops and skills that are completely compatible with the classical world, but you might call them maybe folk musicians. I don't even know how to describe them. They're just good musicians.
You definitely wouldn't call me a classical musician.
I don't know. I think you're just great musicians, and I'm interested in bringing great musicians to Brit. And I don't really care what genre the label on iTunes might claim to call anybody, but I care about the most creative, interesting musicians, and these people certainly are. And it was only natural that not only would they come here, but we'd actually create music. In fact, that was Aoife's suggestion, which was highly ambitious, I think, for an already very ambitious season, you know, and of course we jumped at that chance.
Well, you mentioned the two different worlds, the classical world and the non-classical world, and I suppose at first blush it would be easy to just be fans of one another. How did you guys meet? I mean, how did this connection actually happen?
Jeremy and I have known each other for many years. You mentioned the Mount Shasta Fiddle Camp. We've both spent a lot of time down there and been to a bunch of other camps together and
festivals
and music communities. Yeah, Jeremy did all the strings for my album Fossils, and we're old pals. And it was through Jeremy that I met Teddy almost exactly a year ago. Jeremy had this idea to do a project out in Detroit, presented by the Detroit Symphony, where Teddy was assistant conductor. We did a concert last summer with the three of us and Paul Cowart from Punch Brothers and great guitar player Julian Lage. And so once again, it was sort of a kind of pulled from several different genres, and we came up with a program of music that we performed twice last summer and really hit it off. And Teddy and then invited Jeremy and me both down to Garden Music in Miami, and Nate was there too. That's where we met Nate Farrington. And it's just sort of the beginning of what will hopefully be a long relationship musically.
Yeah. And this festival in Florida, this seems like just a collection of, and I use this in a loving way, just music nerds, like people who just love to get together and meet other people who make music that might not be the same.
Exactly.
And see what comes out of it.
Music nerds. Very.
So
it's
when,
incubator, though, basically.
So when this idea formulates to, hey, let's write this song cycle, was there something that you had in mind to sort of base this off of? Was there an earlier example that perhaps you were working from at all?
I remember at the very beginning, we were talking about finding a poet. And since the concert, of course, is going to be here in Oregon, there was this idea. We had a conference call at some point. We were talking about finding a poet who was tied to the region and talking about different possibilities. And then I think it was Aoife found...
It was Teddy.
Teddy, okay.
Yeah. It was very cool. It was, I think the original sort of the ideas came from, you know, Teddy and Mike Sturgill, and everybody said, let's get this thing happening at Brit. And I think that the easy thing to do would have been to sort of recycle material and sort of say, yeah, let's just show up and we'll do the gig whatever. And then we were on this conference call. I remember I was at a music festival in Washington. I was sitting on the floor. Do you guys remember this? I was like, there is a bluegrass festival in a hotel in Tacoma, Washington, or Bellevue, Washington. And I'm sitting there trying to have this conference call. And I'm like, guys, I really think we should do something new. I really think we should do a new piece because like we can, and it'll be awesome. And can we please do it? And of course, everybody is so busy but we somehow managed to make it.
Well, especially, you know, part of it is when you're writing a new piece, it's one thing to write it for a group of musicians that play together all the time in small form. But when you're writing an orchestra piece, the considerations are totally different. You don't have time to kind of work everything out. You have to have music for, you know, 50, 60, 70, maybe more musicians, and it has to be completely formatted to be playable right away. And that takes a tremendous amount of organizational and just kind of clerical work, and to coordinate that between three people who are all kind of in different places. It was quite a technological feat, and I don't know how this could have been done in a different century. It's amazing how there was a combination of old world and new
longer,
world,
and it wouldn't be possible in the same way. What we ended up doing was kind of each taking a big phase of the work of it. So Aoife found these three poems that are to me just beautiful and reflective and moving of Peter Sears, and made these incredible songs out of them. And then we got together. I kind of took the ball from there, wrote a whole bunch for string orchestra, and then passed it on to Teddy, who did this amazing work with the winds and percussion and everything.
And technology worked itself into this in a way, too, and I want to talk about that in a minute. We're live today in the JPR studios. My guests are Aoife O'Donovan, Jeremy Kittle, Teddy Abrams, and Nate Farrington. They're in concert tonight. The show starts at 8 o'clock out at the Brit Pavilion in Jacksonville. It is a program that features pieces that will highlight the work of Aoife O'Donovan and Jeremy Kittle individually. Also, the collected forces on a suite. Is a suite a decent enough name? A song cycle called Bullfrog's Croon. Also music of Charles Ives, Aaron Copland. It is a well-rounded program. Information, by the way, on that show at britfest.org. Let's hear another tune. What do you guys want to do next?
Well, we'll do a tune of mine that I got to perform with the Cincinnati Pops this summer on the 4th of July, and the principal violist, Christian Kohlberg, did this great arrangement, and we're going to play it tonight at Brit, and we'll give you the stripped-down version here. Nate Farrington learned this tune this week. I texted him and said, can you please play bass on these two songs of mine? And he was like, done and done. And then showed up, and he's nailing it. So the song is called Red and White and Blue and Gold, and Summertime Jam.
Red and white and blue and gold, I wanna wait for the water to touch my toes. On the beach, it's the 4th of July, I wanna wait for the fire to burn my eyes. Come on, sit next to me, bury my feet in the sand. There's a hole that is 12 miles deep, I dug it with my hands. Come on, lie next to me. I sing you to sleep, there's a band on the boardwalk, you're tapping your feet, I'm too drunk to dance. Black and blue all on my face, I wanna follow you home, I wanna see your place, wanna take you in my arms and float down a river with you, I wanna buy the farm, come on, let's run away, baby, let's go. Let's go, there's a southbound train pulling out at night. Leave this jukebox joint behind. Come on, let's have one more. I don't wanna go, I'm not ready to go. I'm scared of the way that my heart gets sore, wondering if you're cold. It's gonna be cold, but the feeling I get when you touch my skin, it makes me bold. Come on, let's kiss in the July sun, beneath the July sky. Oh, the feeling I get when you pass me by. It's the 4th of July.
That is Aoife O'Donovan, Jeremy Kittle, Nate Farrington live today in the JPR studios. It's an older tune. That one goes back to Fossils, doesn't it?
It's not that old. Come on. It's only 2 years old.
That one record came out, when, 2013?
2013.
Yeah. Aoife, Jeremy, and Teddy Abrams from Brit Festivals, who is also here in the studio, are in performance tonight. The show starts at 8 o'clock at the Brit Pavilion in Jacksonville. As, yeah, believe it or not, based on what you just heard, as part of the Brit Classical season. It's a program that features individual tunes from Jeremy and Aoife, then the suite or the song cycle that they have all written together called Bullfrog's Croon, utilizing poetry from Peter Sears. Now, I mentioned just before the tune that there was some technology used in creating this piece because you guys did a series of like long distance Skype conversations. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy, you talked about how you broke up the work based on different sections of poetry, but you also took the strings and Teddy, you orchestrated the brass section. And how did that work? I mean, was it complicated or did it just flow really easily?
I think the only time that we were all in the same room until we got together here, and we weren't even all together, just me and Aoife at one point, we got together for one afternoon. But everything else was over the web. Everything was digital. And we kind of passed along demos and charts. We use a program called Sibelius where you can, you know, notate the orchestra. And
but it is, it is an amazing experience doing that because, I mean, you just think about the process of writing music. And in most of the classical world, you know, people often are surprised to find out that the composers have kind of complete say over everything. I mean, they write every note, they choose all the instruments. I mean, there's no producer involved in a Beethoven symphony. You know,
the composer is the
producer. Yeah. People are often shocked by this revelation. You know, that a lot was decided a long time ago in a lot of cases of so-called classical music. But in this case, we approached it in a much more collaborative setting, which is very unusual in a work of kind of stage music with an orchestra. But actually, it was incredibly rewarding and it's amazing if you could ever go and reverse engineer and hear what the original version I heard of Aoife's demo with guitar, and then the next version when Jeremy added string parts, which he recorded every single part. Even he managed to record on his violin, viola, cello, and bass parts, and actually sent that to me. And then the only thing you could hear after that would be, because I mean, on the clarinet, you can't really play, you know, bassoon parts and things like that. So I was just able to make a MIDI version. When you hear that progression, it's incredible. It's like watching a building being constructed. It's really remarkable.
Jeremy, did you do this with like an octave pedal or how did you accomplish
that?
It's the magic of pitch shift, I should say. Magic. Yeah, it does. It sounds pretty much like a bass. This is my viola. Take it down 2 octaves. Yeah.
So this phenomenon of combining the classical music world and the non-classical music world over the last few years has really gained some traction. The likes of Mark O'Connor, who was out pioneering, writing works for fiddle and orchestra, Bela Fleck, who performed his banjo concerto last year. We've seen the likes of John Patitucci, who wrote a concerto for jazz bass and orchestra. Michael Kamen wrote a suite or a concerto for alto saxophone and orchestra. We've seen Edgar Meyer doing this. Is that line blurring between the two worlds? Is that something that you hope to blur between those two worlds?
I would say I hope that it continues to be a blurry line because, you know, music is music. And
yeah.
I think for me, the reason why I, you know, want to be a musician and why I am a musician and why it's my life is it's the collaborations. That's sort of what feeds us. You know, that's kind of how... That's the whole point, is to make music with other people. And I think when it's people who are outside of your world, you can just learn so much from that experience. You know, getting to work with Teddy for the first time last year was just so incredible. And I feel like over the last couple of years, I got to write a piece. I wrote a string quartet for Brooklyn Rider, this great quartet out of New York. I'd never done anything like that before. That was really cool. You know, just getting to, I don't know, have these experiences is pretty rad. Mm.
Jeremy, you've worked as a soloist before with orchestra. Mm-hmm. You know, Aoife, you have definitely been on stage with orchestra before. For those of us who are just music fans and we listen to the tunes that you guys create, there's often a moment in the song where after a very soft introduction, the whole band comes in. And mm-hmm. it's just sort of this big amount of warmth that washes over you. What is that like when there are 85 people behind you that come in after fairly sparse introduction?
It's literally one of the most incredible sounds that you can ever hear and be part of, and to be in the middle of it is amazing. I mean, it's such a joy because you're getting all these bow sounds and winds and percussion from all these different angles, and I mean, it's totally hedonistic, completely, you know.
I want to ask, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say about your question before, I just think in terms of the line, I think it's more kind of unnatural that there is a line than natural. So I'm just excited to see natural interaction and
Eric, up until this point, as the voiceless bass player, I've been listening and enjoying the interview, but I think it's really important also to note, you know, from a practical perspective, bringing together people from all these different walks of music is a difficult thing, and it takes a rather extraordinary magnet, in this case, in the form of Teddy, and what he has, you know, the opportunities that he has to perform and present and the risks that he's willing to take. I think it's a neat thing here for Southern Oregon that tucked back in these hills, some pretty daring ideas taking place, and you know, if you're lucky enough to get out and come to some of these shows, it's a pretty neat experience.
Yeah, amen.
Let's talk a little bit about performance style, because Aoife, you're not exactly going to be up there singing operatic with an operatic affect to your vocals.
Not tonight.
But for those of you string performers, Jeremy, you and Nate, is there a different approach that you take when you're playing music that's not from the repertoire of straight ahead classical music?
I think in terms of the inflection, so much of what I love about like great romantic violin playing, let's say like David Oistrakh or Henrik Schjerring, is this operatic sound. You know, it's beautiful and it's passionate, and I love it so much. It's, you know, it's more Pavarotti than I don't know, Bono, let's say, you know, but at the same time, there's this really natural way of music. I played in bands growing up. Orchestra, you could call them a band. So I played in orchestra growing up, and then I also played in this folk rock group in Detroit for years, and just had a Wednesday night gig where we sang the band and you know, the Stones and everything. And so there are different kind of ways of bending around the notes and ways of inflecting things. And I very much love the way that Aoife sings. It's so natural and intuitive in that way, but expressive too.
Hmm. Aoife O'Donovan, Jeremy Kittle, Teddy Abrams, Nate Farrington, all live in the studios today. You guys have time to play one more thing for us?
Totally. Yeah. This is a tune of Jeremy's.
This is a tune. The title is a little facetious. It's called Big Fiddle. I hope that people can take it seriously. And it's called that because I originally wrote it for another friend of ours who's also an incredible bass player named Paul Court. And we've enlisted Nate here to tackle part of the part. So this is a reduction of Big Fiddle. I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
That is Aoife O'Donovan, Jeremy Kittle, and Nate Farrington on bass live in the JPR studios today. One of quite a few different things that you will hear tonight at the Brit Festival's classical performance at the Brit Pavilion in Jacksonville at 8 o'clock. Teddy Abrams is here in the studio as well. Before I let you guys go, I want to talk about a little bit about what's next for each of you. Aoife, I know you have been extremely busy over the last year with the I'm With Her tour, which is Sarah Jarosz and also Sarah Watkins. So what else is new for you in addition to this I'm With Her thing? Is that winding down now?
Well, it's so winding down and winding up kind of all at the same time. I've got a new album.
How does that work?
Well, we're winding the clock, and then we're going to put it in the back pocket for a little while, and then it's going to, you know, explode. But I'm going to put out a solo album next year in early 2016 in January. I know Sarah Watkins has got a new one she's working on. Jarosz has got a new one she's working on. And then the I'm With Her future will probably happen sometime the year after that. So, cool. But I'm going to be on tour back in Oregon with Glenn Hansard in November. That's pretty exciting. Going to Japan. Life is good.
If you come through the Rogue Valley, stop and visit with us.
Will do.
Jeremy, what about for you?
I'm also working on a record. So I've got this team of crazy string players, musicians, just as crazy as these folks here in this room, who play mandolin and guitar, hammered dulcimer, and cello. And I've got them all lined up. We're going to make another solo record for this instrumental. It's going to be probably all instrumental, and I'm super excited for it. And so doing a lot of touring with my trio as well, doing orchestral shows and hitting the road. With trio and quintet, actually, as well. So playing kind of select appearances with quintet and then doing more extensive touring with the trio.
Cool. Yeah. And Teddy, you never slow down. If you're not writing or performing, you're in front of the orchestra. You've got this weekend and next for the Brit Classical. What's on the horizon for you? What are you working on?
Well, I'll be very sad to leave Brit, but this is also one of the most intensive couple of weeks that I've ever experienced. If you've been seeing the concerts, you know why. And if you haven't seen the concerts, then you have to see why tonight, ideally, and tomorrow and the next day. But then I pretty much immediately go back to Louisville, where we are doing, for our very opening concert, Leonard Bernstein's Mass, which could be considered the largest possible piece one could present. Imagine Carmina Burana on, you know, pretty significant dose of steroids. And written by an American, not Carl Orff. Anyway, it's like that. So I do that, and then we've got tons of projects this year. I mean, that's the whole thing I'm trying to do, are these projects that really make, I think, organizations grow. And they're super rewarding. And by the way, I have to give a shout-out to Nate Farrington, the bass player who has been playing today, because Nate is he's a member of the Brit Orchestra this year, but he gets the Outstanding Citizenship Award because he just does everything. And he's kind of like your ideal musician, where there are no lines and there are no boundaries. It's just great music making, and he's, you'll see him in the bass section, but you'll see him up front too, of course, the other amazing musicians, Aoife and Jeremy. I mean, working with them at a festival like Brit, it makes everything so worthwhile and fulfilling and rewarding. Yay. So this is a really special place. And I hope that everybody in Southern Oregon gets to experience it, because, as I keep saying, there are not very many Brits in the world. There are just a couple places that have summer
really
music
special
festivals. Yeah. Yeah. And very few of them are you know, with an orchestra, and very few of them are doing the kind of music I think that we are. So I just love to share it with everybody here.
Aoife O'Donovan, Jeremy Kittle, Teddy Abrams, Nate Farrington live in the JPR studios today. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Eric.
So much
for having us.
Yeah.